have very exalted and special guests who has come to bestow their wonderful and holy association upon us. Chandramali Swami Maharaj is a very senior disciple of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. He came in 1972 to New Vrindavan, and I remember when he first came, we had a special relationship. I would milk cows. Would you like to hear this story? You don't mind? I would milk cows. And then I would take the milk, which is liquid religiosity, according to Vedas, and I would bring that pure, nutritious, sanctified milk coming from Krishna's own beloved cows, and I would give it all to Chandramali, who at that time was Brahmachari, as was I. And he would take the milk and he would make it sit overnight, and then he would take off the cream and he would churn the butter. He would churn the cream into butter. This was his almost full-time service. The service of Mother Yashoda and the gopis of Braja. We always read about them churning the butter and singing the glories of the Lord. So Chandramali Maharaj would spend a day just singing the glories of the Lord and churning butter and then making it into butter. And then he would offer it to the deities Radha, Vrindavan, Chandra. Then he became head cook of Brahmachari Ashram. So many service he has done. He's done much preaching and influenced so many people's lives by his exemplary behavior. Whatever happens in the world, there's one thing I'm sure of, that Chandramali Swami will go on with his service. He's very famous for his, just has his determined desire to do his service, and nothing could stop him. Even if devotees try to stop him, he will not stop. He will go on with his service. And very humble, very completely dedicated, he has given his life, his soul, his everything in the service of Guru and Gauranga. So we are very much grateful to have him today. Let us welcome His Holiness Chandramali Maharaj. We also have many special guests. From Nandagram, Ramesh Goswamiji is here. Where? Please sit, bring him up, please. For those of you who know Braj Bhumi, the holy land of Lord Sri Krishna, there are innumerable places of Krishna's divine lila. And of the very prominent places is Barasana and Nandagaon. Barasana, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, appeared as the form, his four heads became the four hills of Barasana, and Srimati Radharani made her residence there. And Brahma is always eternally enjoying Srimati Radharani's lotus feet upon his head. And Lord Shiva appeared as the five hills of Nandagram. And Krishna Balaram, Nanda Maharaj, and Yashoda Mai made their eternal residence on that hill of Nandagram. There are so many beautiful holy places, but of them, the foremost is on the very peak of the highest hill of Nandagaon, is the actual place of the residence of Nanda Maharaj, where Krishna and Balaram perform their eternal Poganda and Kaishora Lila. And that temple, which is there, has been visited by all of the great Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas and Acharyas of all the Sampradayas since time immemorial. And in that temple were the beautiful, beautiful deities of Krishna, Balaram, Yashoda, Nanda, Sridhama, and Srimati Radharani are worshipped. The head pujari of that temple, one of the head pujaris, is our very special and exalted guest, Sri Ramesh Goswamiji, who is not only intimately serving the Supreme Lord in his own home, but he is a very, very humble, gentle, and dedicated pure Vaishnava. And he's always very kind to us, very merciful and compassionate. And whenever he comes to Bombay, although so many people invite him to stay in so many nice places, he especially chooses to stay in Sri Radha Gopinath's temple because he very much loves the deities and the devotees here. So truly it is Krishna Balaram's blessings that they have sent his intimate servant, Sri Rameshji Goswami, to be with us this week. Let us welcome him to Radha Gopinath's temple. A true Brijavasi. We also have this week came Mother Tilakini and Mother Rupa. Mother Rupa is hiding outside. Now she's gone. Anyway, she'll hear us. Sound vibration is more powerful than any of the other sensual ways of communicating. She has been a devotee for about 25 years, Srila Prabhupada's disciple. She is so surrendered that in the early days of New Vrindavan, when there was great need of heavy construction to build the palace, Prabhupada's palace, the Pushpa Samadhi for Srila Prabhupada in the early 70s, and such hard work, and there was no proper machinery, no proper facilities. Devotees had to just lift blocks and rocks and very hard labor. And she was so enthusiastic that she was full-time she was actually the hardest worker in the construction crew, simply because she had such a fervent desire that Srila Prabhupada's beautiful samadhi, his home would be built. So she's a very, very surrendered, hard-working devotee and has great love for the holy name and the Vaishnavas. Let us welcome Mother Rupa Rameshwari to Radha Gopinath's temple. Mother Tilakini is here. Yes? No? Anyways, you all know Mother Tulakini. She's Gaur Shakti's wife. She's also a disciple of Srila Prabhupada for about the last 20 years. And she has done so many wonderful various services at New Vrindavan. And she is the link between Radha Gopinath Temple and New Vrindavan. She is the only person we have ever found that actually is so merciful to the devotees here that she sends always regular news. And anything the devotees at Radha Gopinath Temple or our congregation want done in America, she's always so anxious and happy to perform that service. She's very much in the mood of Lord Chaitanya's essential teaching of being the servant of the servant of the servant. Please welcome her. There's also Harinam Mataji is here. She's a very hard-working devotee at New Vrindavan. Sita Priya, they're all not here. Brajabhumi Devi Mataji, is she here? Someone say something. Brajabhumi Mataji? Anyways. She's a devotee from England. You'll see her in Pune. She's staying with us. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned from his tour of South India, the devotees of Jagannath Puri, they were very, very intensely, anxiously waiting his arrival. They understood that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Jagannath, who appeared in this divine and most beautiful golden form of Sri Gauranga. And while he was away, it is explained that the devotees of Puri Dham were like chataka birds, who were just as the chataka bird is always meditating on that drop of rain falling from the cloud, not satisfied with anything else. There may be so many reservoirs of water. There may be so many oceans and ponds and lakes and rivers and wells. But the chataka bird will not accept any water except that pure water that falls directly from the cloud. And therefore, as he's flying in the sky, his face and his eyes are always focused on the cloud, waiting for that drop. He will never look down to anything of this earth to quench his thirst. In the same way, a devotee, if we want to actually become supremely dear to Krishna, we must have the consciousness of the chataka bird. We should always keep the intensified, exclusive attention of our consciousness upon Krishna. We should know that service to Krishna and love for Krishna is the only satisfaction of the heart and the soul. It is the only meaning of life. And we should not accept anything of this world except that. We should not look down to look for contentment, peace, or security toward any of the rivers or ponds or lakes of the promises of Maya that are contained within this temple mortal existence. We should keep our attention always like the chataka bird in rapt attention, waiting for the mercy of Krishna. That is called Ananya Bhak, Dritavrata. That is the determination that is necessary And when we have that determination, then and only then will Krishna reveal himself in our lives. But before he reveals himself, he will test us. We will not look to any of the false promises of Maya in the form of wealth or family or prestige or long life or anything else for our satisfaction. We may deal with these things in a very responsible and proper way in the service of Krishna, but our attention must always be fixed upward toward Krishna's lotus feet, toward the cloud of Krishna's mercy. Krishna Shyam Sundar, he is that dark, beautiful rain cloud, and we are simply waiting for that drop of mercy. And we are willing to starve of thirst of anything else, but we will not accept any substitute than his mercy. But before he gives that drop of water, sometimes he sends thunder. And when the thunder comes, the insincere feel, this is very frightful. Maybe I should go home. Maybe I should look elsewhere. And then sometimes there is lightning. And sometimes even the lightning bolt will strike the head of the chataka bird and cause him severe anguish and pain. But he will never take shelter of the water of this world. He will remain in fixed determination, looking up and praying for that drop of water coming from the cloud. And whatever lightning, whatever thunderbolts, whatever thunder that may come upon him, he just accepts it as his purification in order to qualify himself to receive that drop of mercy. This is the determination that a devotee must have. Vishayavanivaratante niraharasyate. We must always be seeking this higher taste. We must be resolute in determination that only Krishna can give me real satisfaction. Only surrendering to Krishna and receiving his mercy will be purpose in life, and look nowhere else. So the residents of Jagannath Puri, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was away, like the chataka bird, they were constantly meditating on his lotus feet, awaiting his arrival. And when the news came that he had come, the residents of Puri, the servants of Jagannath, they all approached Sri Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And they prayed to him that please arrange for us to have a meeting, darshan, with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because it is only by your mercy, because you are so dear to him, that the Lord will agree to meet with us. This is one of the most sacred truths a Vaishnava philosophy. That Krishna will only agree to reveal himself to one who approaches him through his devotee. One who accepts the lotus feet of Guru and the advanced Vaishnavas. That great soul can present us before the Lord, and only then will the Lord accept. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, yes. Tomorrow come to the house of Kashi Mishra, and you will meet Lord Chaitanya. So the next day, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Lord Jagannath's temple along with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And there, (clears they had darshan of Lord Jagannath. And Sarvabhauma brought Lord Chaitanya to the house of Kashi Mishra. And Sarvabhauma said that Kashi Mishra wants to offer you his house, his life, his everything for your pleasure and your service. Please accept a room from his house. And Lord Chaitanya replied that my life is your property. I belong to my devotees. Whatever all of you want, I will accept. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya began to introduce him to the various devotees, one after another. And they all bow down at his lotus feet. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced each one of them with great affection. Sarvabhauma said, "These are all the jeweled these devotees are the jeweled ornaments of Lord Jagannath, and they are constantly meditating in great devotion on your lotus feet." At that time, Bhavananda Rai appeared with four of his five sons. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya introduced, "This is Bhavananda Rai. He is the father of Ramananda Rai, that great devotee who you met in South India." And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so happy. He looked at Bhavananda Rai and he said that the glories of a father who has such an exalted devotee as Ramananda Rai as his son cannot be extolled properly in this mortal world. And then Lord Chaitanya said to Bhavananda Rai that you are none other than Maharaj Pandu, and your wife is Kunti Devi, and your five sons are none other than the five Pandavas. The five Pandavas appeared as the five sons of Bhavananda Rai: Ramananda Rai, Gopinath, Vaninath, Kala Nidhi, and Sudha Nidhi. Bhavananda Rai, and then Lord Chaitanya embraced him. And Bhavananda Rai, in great humility, he said, "I am a low-class man. I am born in the lowest caste of society. And I am full of sins. But yet you have touched me. This is the proof that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such mercy." You see, the Lord and his devotees will never categorize anyone by their birth, but only by their qualifications. The Bhagavatam explains, even if one is born in the sun, in the family of chandalas or dog eaters, if they are chanting the holy names and living by the principles of bhakti, they are fit to become guru of the whole world. But one who is born in a very sophisticated Brahmin family and has all the 25 qualifications of Brahmin, but who is not a devotee of the Lord, who is not taking shelter of the holy name, he cannot even deliver himself what to speak of anyone else. And then Bhavananda Rai said to Lord Chaitanya that my life, my home, my wealth, my servants, my five children, I dedicate them to you. I surrender everything to you, my Lord, to be utilized as you like. And this is what made the Pandavas so dear to Lord Krishna. That they had surrendered their lives, their souls, their everything, simply in the service of the Lord. As we saw in this beautiful drama that Sankirtan Prabhu had performed, the Pandavas, for so many long years, were put in exile, 12 years. The 13th year they had to be in incognito, hidden in the kingdom of Virat. After that, by the arrangement of Krishna, they had to fight the greatest, most tragic war in the history of mankind, the Battle of Kurukshetra. And through that battle they were victorious, and by the arrangement of Krishna they were given the throne of the whole world. But when Krishna left this world, and they no longer felt that they could utilize their wealth, their power, their prestige in his service, they did not want any of it. Yudhisthira Maharaj, the king, was the first to put Maharaj Parikshit on the throne, and putting on the simple clothes of a vanaprast, he left everything to go to the Himalayas. And his four brothers and their wife and mother, they all followed that line. They did not care for their throne, they did not care for their wealth, they did not care for anything if it was not according to Krishna's plan to be used in Krishna's service. They were truly surrendered souls. And this is why the Pandavas were so dear to Krishna. This is why Krishna became the friend, the messenger, the chariot driver of the Pandavas. And this is why when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descended into this world, the original form of Krishna himself, he also called upon Maharaj Pandu, Kunti Devi, and the five Pandavas to assist him in his work, so that he can continue to show the world the exquisite loving affairs between the Lord and his surrendered devotees. Today, people in this world are very much attached. They'll become devotees, but they very much want to make sure that there's a limit to their devotion. They draw a boundary wall. That yes, I am Vaishnava. I am chanting Hare Krishna. And I am doing some charity, giving some donation, and I am doing some seva. But I'm not a fanatic. I have my life, and I have my spiritual life and my domestic life, and they should not mix. So in this way, we have our devotional service, but then there's a wall that we build where we keep the things that we want to protect from Krishna. We want to guard very diligently that Krishna doesn't get this part. He can have that part and this part, but not this part. But Bhavananda Rai, he said, Ramananda Rai, he was a high post governor of Madras. Big, big person, very prestigious to the family to have such a son. But on the order of Lord Chaitanya, he gave it up to come to Jagannath Puri to be Lord Chaitanya's personal assistant. And Bhavananda Rai was very happy that his son had surrendered to the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya and given everything up in this world. But then his next son, Vanunath, who was second in age, he said to Lord Chaitanya, that this son of mine, Vaninath, I am hereby turning over to you to be your personal servant. He is yours for the rest of his life, to do whatever you like. And anything you want of any of us, it is yours. Please accept. For Bhavananda Rai, the only thing he considered valuable in life is whatever was accepted by Lord Chaitanya for his service. So Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased. And he replied that because you are making these offerings with genuine love and devotion, I will accept. And then Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced with great affection Bhavananda Rai, and then he personally placed his lotus feet on the four sons, the Pandavas, and showed them his great love. And he said, in 5 to 7 days, Ramananda Rai will also be coming. And my heart longs again to be in his association. The Lord longs for the association of his devotees. And actually, everyone is essentially Krishna's devotee. Jivara Swarupoi Krishna Nitya Das. Krishna's longing for all of his spirit souls, all of his parts and parcels, to return to his loving service. That means each and every one of us. That means not only every human being, but wherever there is life in this creation, Krishna is longing for that eternal soul, that eternal loving servant, to come out of illusion and return. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya and the great acharyas, such as Srila Prabhupada, have taught us that there is no greater service to the Lord than preaching his message to the devotees and to the conditioned souls to help them to come back to the loving service of the Lord. That is the greatest service that we can do. And Srila Prabhupada is so merciful that he is so kindly engaging all of us in that most intimate service of the Lord by spreading the glories of the chanting of the holy names. Because in this age of Kali Yuga, there is no religious principle except the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Harinama, Harinama, Hariname, Vakevalam, Kalonasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva, Gathirandyata. There are many sub-religious principles, but only through sincerely chanting the holy names of the Lord with a spirit of service and devotion can we actually achieve Krishna Prema. Prema Pumartha Mahan. Purusharatha Siromani. The crest jewel of all goals of life is love for Krishna. So we are not concerned with anything save and except those activities, those words and those thoughts which help to absorb ourselves and propagate Krishna's holy name. And this was the glory of the Pandavas, as we have seen in this wonderful play. The Pandavas dedicated their lives to serving Krishna's mission. And by Srila Prabhupada and the Guru Parampara's great mercy, we all have that same opportunity. By coming together and helping this great mission of Lord Chaitanya spread to more and more and more people's lives. This is the mission of the Lord in this age of Kali Yuga. So the first thing that is required is we must be personally very enthusiastic to come together to chant this Harinam. And we must live a very pure, exemplary life for others to see. We must be very willing to be instruments, to assist according to our capacity in whatever way to give the mercy of the Lord to the suffering people of this world. By somehow inducing them, convincing them, attracting them to chant Harinam. Srila Prabhupada said the whole purpose of all of his books, the whole purpose of all of our preaching, the whole purpose of all activities is simply to induce people to take shelter of the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki, Nitai Gopimanandi.